Happy holidays, people. Let's get this party started.
It's always a fun time. You know, it is, Rob. Let's get started. You hear the music. You hear the music. You know what time it is. And let me crank this up a little bit. Oh, yeah. There it is. You ready, Rob?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I should have threw in a little Christmas twist with it this week, man.
I thought about it, but we're going to keep it going. Your time is up, my time is now. 12th man is officially on the air. It's what? The franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now. Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. It is a special post-Christmas show, and as always, we are delighted to be here to show you guys a lot of love. And today is Wednesday, December the 26th, for those who don't know. And this is officially our last show of 2012, so we're really, really looking forward to the new year as always. So with that, I am Andre Peterson, one host, joined by Robert Foy. And without further ado, I just want to say welcome to Mr. Rob and check in with you, sir. How's everything going? I hope your Christmas was great, sir.
Man, everything is going great, man. I tell you, still enjoying myself, you know, still got a little turkey, you know, still got a little gumbo. You know how we do it down in Louisiana. You got to have gumbo on Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I'm feeling good, man.
It's always a good thing. And I want to check in, guys, because I'm actually on the West Coast. I am in Vacaville. For those who don't know, I'm in McAllen, which is probably about a good 60 minutes from the Bay Area. But I'm close enough to show you guys a lot of love. So this is a very exciting time for me. I'm right in the midst of a lot of things. So it's a good night. So looking forward to it. We're looking forward to our guests. Gift-givings tonight, so we got a lot of fun topics, as always, but for those that want to call on the show, want to text us, tweet us, I know things kind of got a little late as far as our announcements, but you can always listen to the show and archive and all that fun stuff, too, but for those that want to call on the show, the number to call is toll-free, it's 424-243-9519, and as always, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/12, THNAN Sports, and as always, on Twitter, at the number 12, TH Man Sports as well. So we got a lot of things to discuss, Rob. It's very exciting, and we're going to talk about a couple things. So without further ado, I'm kind of making up an agenda here as we go. And let's talk about, I guess, the Pro Bowl rosters were officially released today, as a matter of fact. So a lot of interesting picks, and I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at this. There's a rookie that made the roster as a first-year player. Mr. Robert Griffin III actually made it to the Pro Bowl rosters, and I was actually very shocked to see this because if you would have told me that Drew Brees would have not made it, and I know you're a Saints fan, Rob, so I'm not trying to pickle you tonight, but talk about a very interesting move because Matt Ryan makes it as well as Aaron Rodgers. Are you surprised about this move, Rob? I hope I didn't catch you off guard with this, but what were your thoughts about this?
Well, you know, I think RG3 is right now the hot name right now in the league, and you know, had a fantastic year. And you look at Drew Brees' year this season; he's got the numbers. There's no doubt about it. It looks like he's gonna have another season with over 40 touchdown passes, and it looks like he's gonna have another season with over 5,000 yards passing. So it'd be hard pressed to find another quarterback in the NFL with those kind of numbers. His efficiency was slightly down this year, though. If you look at, you know, overall managing of the games, and you know, his interception number was a little high this year, and so I don't think we have a huge problem with, you know, I mean, like I said, his numbers is probably going to be second to none in the league, but his overall efficiency, and I just think this about Drew Brees this season. I just think he had too much on his plate. I think he was trying to fill a void of not having Sean Payton, and which, of course, you know, the dictator took away of our coach, and I don't want to get into that because I think it was an injustice. And but I think he was dealing with too much there, trying to make up for the lack of not having his head coach, trying to fill that void. And I think he was pressing the issue a little bit this year. But still, if you look at his numbers, once again, a very good year. But I don't think we have a problem with who made it.
You know, I think you want to use this forum to talk about the Saints and Justice, but that's okay. We're going to keep moving forward a lot of things. And the good news is that I think Drew Brees actually may make it as an alternate, you know, and I think he's going to make it because the Falcons will be playing the Super Bowl. So You know, you guys can play because I don't think you're going to get a chance to see that. So, you know, that's okay. You guys will be fine. So, yeah.
Well, it's a possibility. But we'll talk about the Super Bowl. I got a change in my Super Bowl prediction. But we'll get to that in a little bit. You know, we got that down. We got that on our topics coming up here soon on our Super Bowl prediction. I got a slight change this week.
Love it, love it, love it. Like I said, there's a lot of good players, a lot of first-time players. If you're San Francisco, you're pretty happy. You guys got a lot of your guys in there. Alden Smith gets the nod. Mike Iupati, Frank Gore. I mean, they had 9 representatives for the Pro Bowl. So if you are 49ers, I got to represent the Bay Area right about now. You're pretty excited to see a lot of the players that actually made that, as well as a lot of strong representation from Seattle. They had a lot of teams that had a lot of players with 5 of their players, and just a very, very interesting pick. Now, another couple players I want to highlight. I want to highlight the fact that Peyton Manning gets a chance to go back as a quarterback for the Denver Broncos, and he's been playing lights out. So you kind of felt that was going to happen, in addition to Tom Brady and Matt Schaub getting the nod too. So there's a lot of interesting players, a lot of young players that are actually making their impact with the A.J. Greens of the world and Robert Gronkowski from New England. So this is I'm pretty excited because I think the fans got some of the players right, but there's still a lot of players too that, you know, obviously there's some players didn't get any representations, you know, like the fall off from Cam Newton, some players that had a promising season and obviously didn't kind of do a good job this year too. So I don't know if you want to highlight any players that you want to talk about or anybody that you want to highlight or anything like that, Rob. But the floor is yours.
I'll just say this. I don't have, looking over both AFC and NFC Pro Bowl rosters, I don't have a problem with anybody who made it. And are there some really good players who did not make it? Absolutely. I mean, you could probably name about 5 to 10 guys that did not make the Pro Bowl that probably is just as good to be in it. But I don't have a problem with anybody that's in it. I think everybody that's in it had a fantastic season, and congratulations to them. And I think overall the system really worked. And like I said, you can easily make a case for some guys that did not make it, but I don't have a problem with anybody that did make it.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, like I said, you know, I kind of agree with you as well. It's always exciting. And I don't know if we want to make it like the Major League Baseball League in that at least one representative should actually go from each team. So I don't know, because there's a couple teams, like you said, like obviously for the bottom dwellers like Kansas City, Jacksonville, Carolina, no players made it for those squads too. So it's just interesting too. And hopefully if you're one of those fans, you know, maybe you want to forget about the season and not have any of those players. But, you know, like I said, we'll keep it going. We'll see how everything plays out. Let's kind of go into the NFL top five, Rob, because I think the Tebow situation and where Vic will play in 2013 actually plays into my topics as far as our gifts for some teams too. So we'll kind of table that. And let's talk about the top five, and let's give us your top five, Rob, as far as the NFL, and I'll actually do mine. So I'd love to hear what you have, and we'll keep it moving.
All right, here we go. As it stands right now in the NFL, I'm going to keep your Atlanta Falcons at number one in the league, and congratulations on getting the number one seed in the NFC. Well deserved this season. They had a fantastic year, and you have to give credit where credit is due. And I think the ball club is just find ways to win and manage the game really well. And so the Falcons are definitely number one on my list at the moment. And number two, I'm moving Denver Broncos up to number two. And I'm moving them past the Houston Texans, and have to be one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now with 11 straight victories, playing phenomenal in all three phases of the game. Got to give Peyton Manning a lot of credit. Got to give John Fox a lot of credit there. Von Miller, phenomenal football player on the defensive side of the ball. Champ Bailey still playing well. Have to give them a lot of credit. Dropping Houston down to number three, and starting to wonder, they're picking a bad time of the year. They're falling to a slump. But if they win this weekend on the road at Indy, they'll still have the number one seed in the AFC. If they lose and Denver wins, then Denver will have home field advantage and have the number one seed. So they still have something to play for here this weekend. But I've dropped Houston down to number three. And the Green Bay Packers, this is a team that is quietly getting on the road right now. Aaron Rodgers is red hot. I have them at number four. This is a team you want to look out for come playoff time as well. Still, there are still concerns about them having a running game come playoff time. You're going to need that in order to win here in the playoffs. So that is a minor concern for the Packers. Number five, I have the New England Patriots. And you still have Tom Brady, you still have Bill Belichick, so they're definitely going to have a chance come playoff time. So I have them at number five.
Wow. Okay. I like it. I like it a lot, sir. No complaints about the first two picks. We are exactly on the same page. You know, obviously, being a Falcon fan, can't help but be excited about the way they're playing. And they kind of did their – they handled their business against a pretty dangerous Detroit line, no matter what you hear. So we handled our business. I like the Broncos, like you said, playing lights out. Right now, the way that things are looking, these may be the two teams that are going to play in the Super Bowl, excuse me. Actually, at number three, I've moved up the New England Patriots only because I'm not happy with the play of the Houston Texans. So I got the Patriots up there for the same reasons you talked about earlier with Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. I like what they have. I dropped the Texans to number four only because of the fact that they have a pretty impactful defense. But still, there are a lot of injuries, and you're starting to get a little concerned about the Texans. But hopefully they'll shape up this weekend. They have a lot of things to prove. And I've got a surprise at number five, sir, a very big surprise. I've got the Seattle Seahawks at number five only because of the fact that I was very impressed with the play of Russell Wilson. I know my 49er fans are not happy with that pick, but and I've got the 49ers in the outside looking in as well as the Packers too. But right now, the way that you kind of pick teams that are getting hot at the right time, and if you're a certain team, you don't want to face a pretty hot Seattle Seahawks team, so they can be dangerous. So that's what I have.
Not
for
bad.
My
they are. Top five. They're going to be a tough outcome playoff time. You're exactly right about that.
Now the only thing that's kind of tough on them, I think they're 3-5 on the road, so this is going to be a big test for them. They're a young team, so they have to go through some growing pains. But as mentioned, they're playing pretty hot, a lot of confidence. Russell Wilson is playing lights out, so we'll see if they have enough to make some noise in the playoffs. But let's keep it going, sir. I'm going to throw out some numbers for those who want to call in. Hope you guys are enjoying the show. Like I said, I know it's kind of post Christmas, everyone wrapping up some stuff. So hopefully you're enjoying what you're hearing. The number to call the show is 424-243-9519. You can text us, you can tweet us, you can have some fun with us as always. The number, obviously, if you're following us on Twitter, it's at the number 12, THMAN Sports, 12 Man Sports, as well as on Facebook. A lot of ways to get in touch with us. So, Rob, I know we kind of went, we're still in the Christmas spirit, and I like this category of kind of a way to talk about our gifts to some NFL teams, and we're going to talk about certain situations. So if you are, you know, a certain team, and we're going to talk about how we can fix your team, or what do you think that you can help your team. So I think one of the things that we talked about was the Tebow situation. And basically, there's a lot of things going on in saying that there's a report that was just out there that's saying that, you know, don't blame Tebow. He would have ran the Wildcat if we would have asked him. This is from Rex Ryan. And I'm sure the way that things are going, the Jets are having a terrible year. And we're assuming that Tebow is not going to be there next year, as well as Mark Sanchez. So let's figure out our gift to the New York Jets. And I'll let you start with this, Robin. What do you think, if you would fix the Jets, what would be the first thing to kind of fix them? And also talk about the Tebow situation all in one big nutshell, sir.
Well, Tebow's situation here, the bottom line is he's not going to be with the Jets next year. And he's going to go to Florida. He's either going to be in Jacksonville, which more than likely he's going to be in Jacksonville. Don't rule out Tampa Bay as a possibility either. And both of those teams are organizations that are struggling at the box office. They're struggling selling tickets. And Tebow, you know how I feel. I think he's a great kid, a great human being. He's just not an NFL quarterback, in my opinion. And but he will infuse some excitement in those franchises down in Florida. That's where he's from. That's where he played college ball. And he would help both of those organizations at the box office. And they're both struggling to sell tickets. And I think both of those organizations can give Tebow an opportunity to really compete. Josh Freeman, he started off pretty well this season, but he's in a horrible slump right now for the Tampa Bay Bucks. You have to wonder if he's the future at quarterback for that team. You have to wonder the same about Blaine Gabbert in Jacksonville, too. And so I think Tebow can go to either one of those organizations and compete. Now, my Christmas gift to the New York Jets. Here we go. All right. You go out and you sign Michael Vick to be your starting quarterback. And, you know, until you get a quarterback for the future, Michael Vick can still play the game. He can still help you. He'll be better than just about anybody that'll be available in free agency or in the draft. And you're not going to have a low enough pick to possibly get a quarterback in the draft. So you go out, you get Michael Vick. I hate to wish anybody to be fired, but you got to fire Rex Ryan. I think he's a coordinator at best. He's not a guy you want to be a head coach. And you go out and you bring in somebody like a Bill Cowher to come up there and coach your organization. So my gift to the New York Jets, Michael Vick and Bill Cowher.
I like it. I like it. Now, if you are the Jets, now, Rex Ryan, he's kind of got this, you know, definitely this bravado, if you will. And that's something that, you know, obviously, Jersey, you know, you got to have something like that. Bill Cowher coming there, put a stamp on that team, add some discipline. I think that's a great pick. You know, obviously, that's a great gift. They're happy. No coal in the stockings for that. I love it. I love it. I love it. Let's move on. So you talk about, you know, like I said, where will Vic play in 2013, excuse me. So you definitely think that he's going to be, you think this is a good move for him to go to the to the Jets? I mean, obviously there's a couple teams, and I'm going to name a couple of them, i.e. Arizona, i.e. Kansas City, i.e. possibly the Buffalo Bills. I mean, there's a lot of competition for some services. What do you think about this? And also, I'm going to throw a wild card in the Dallas Cowboys. So what do you think about that?
Well, I think Buffalo and both Kansas City are going to go with a quarterback in the draft for the future here. I think they are tired of the recycling of the quarterbacks. And right now, I think both organizations are looking to build somebody long-term with. And this is not a great year to have a number one pick in the NFL draft. It really isn't. Last year you had Andrew Luck at number one. You had RG3 at number two. Two top-notch quarterback prospects for years to come in the NFL. You don't quite have that in this year's draft. And the number one pick probably will not be a quarterback unless a guy like Matt Barkley, Landry Jones, or Geno Smith just goes out and tears it up in the workouts. So more than likely, your top quarterbacks are going to go somewhere around 10 to 15. So if you're at Kansas City, you're going to want to, you know, it's going to be hard to trade out of that number one spot. But what you want to do is trade up from your number two spot to get your quarterback. From your number two second-round pick is what I'm meaning by number two spot. So you want to trade up from the top of the second round into the first round to get your quarterback for the future. And when you're talking about the Buffalo Bills, they're picking all already somewhere around the middle of the pack, so they'll probably be able to get a quarterback for the future as well. So I would think both of those organizations will get a quarterback in this draft class and try to develop them for the future, and they're tired of the recycling of quarterbacks.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that if you are, and I'm going to give a lot of props to Mike Shanahan because in a surprise move, he actually drafted, you know, obviously RG3 and Kirk Cousins. Are you taking the flyer on Kirk Cousins? If you are Kansas City, would you say, hey, I'll give you that number one pick for Kirk Cousins? What do you think about that? You think that'd be a move that certain teams would want to pursue?
I think a team may offer a second-round pick. I don't think he's quite worthy of a first-round offer. I wouldn't make that deal just off of one or two games. But maybe a second-round pick. You can probably offer the guy a second-round pick. And I think if somebody is throwing you a second-round pick, you know, Mike Shanahan has to listen. Anything less than that, Mike Shanahan is hanging up the phone. Because, you know, Kirk Cousins is not breaking your bank. And you got a solid number two quarterback that you got under contract for another 2 to 3 years. So anything less than a second-round pick, Mike Shanahan is hanging up the phone.
Gotcha. I love it, love it, love it. All right, let's get back to my gifts. All right, this is me. And hopefully Robbie can kind of follow here. This is our post-talking sports for the 12th man. Let's talk about my gift to the Arizona Cardinals. Now, Arizona, you guys have been, after Kurt Warner has retired, you guys are looking for a quarterback for a long time. You guys don't want a veteran. You don't want a young guy. You're kind of scared about drafting a guy because you're not really sure what you're going to get. You have some guys that you think are the answers, but I don't know. My gift to you guys, it is Alex Smith, the quarterback here right now for the 49ers. This is why I say this, because he's a good game manager. You don't have to worry about him having too many mistakes. You've got a guy in Larry Fitzgerald that's going to be happy to have a guy that can, you know, throw the ball to him. Now, he may not be able to throw the ball as deep, but, you know, he's going to be able to make the safe throws, stuff like that. You obviously develop that running game. You get a pretty good running back. Got a pretty decent defense at this juncture. You got a good special teams. I think that's what you guys do, because if you're Arizona, you don't want to keep testing it and going to the draft to get a quarterback that's going to be a little unknown guy. So that's my gift to you guys. If you're the 49ers, I know I don't think they're crying right now. They are intrigued with CP7. They're enjoying or CK7, excuse me. They're enjoying Colin out here. So that's my gift for the Arizona Cardinals.
Not bad. Should be really interesting there. I'm sure San Fran wouldn't want to give them to a divisional opponent, but we'll kind of see how that works out.
Well, I'm just saying, at this point, you know, like I said, they're kind of like, hey, he's got a one-year deal, nothing too crazy. And it's kind of similar, like, hey, you know, here you go, Alex, you know, go to some place and we'll see how that plays out. That's what I'm thinking. I don't know. I'm just throwing out some ideas. Rob is silent. I love it. Let's keep it moving. Let's talk about some things. If you are the Philadelphia Eagles, what's your gift to the Philadelphia Eagles? Is it a new coach? Is it a new quarterback? Is Nick Foles the answer?
Well, I'll just say this. I think I've seen enough out of Nick Foles that he's a guy that you can build with if you're the Philadelphia Eagles. I liked his pocket presence. And, of course, he's still got a lot to learn. He's got the size. He's got the strong arm. And but I've seen enough moxie out of the kid that this is a guy you can develop. So I think you're good there at the quarterback position. This is a guy I think you can grow with in the future. Obviously, they are going to fire Andy Reid. And it's not that Andy Reid is not a good coach. I think Andy Reid is one of the best in the business. But sometimes you kind of just go through a process and an organization where you just need a new face. Sometimes a guy's voice just gets old, and you just, you know, it gets old and you don't listen or you don't hear it as much anymore. You know, it goes through one ear and out the other, and I think that's just where the Eagles are with Andy Reid. So I think Andy Reid will get fired. He will get another job. There's no doubt about it. And I think if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, you go out and you get Chip Kelly from Oregon to come in and infuse, you know, a youthful mentality. Now you're starting to see some college coaches with some success. Right out of that Pac-12 with Jim Harbaugh out of Stanford, Pete Carroll out of USC, both of those guys are going to be in the playoffs. And you go out there and get another coach out of the Pac-12, Chip Kelly from Oregon, to run your program in Philadelphia. And I think he can infuse some youth and excitement to your program there in Philly.
Gotcha. I like that. I also like John Gruden. I mean, right at this juncture, I don't think he's going to leave Monday Night Football, but if he sees a nice little challenge, Philadelphia has a lot of pieces at this juncture. I think they have a pretty strong defense, in spite of what we're hearing. But, you know, we'll see how that plays out.
I'll say this about John Gruden. There's only two jobs that he'll come out of the boot for.
What's that?
And that's the Dallas Cowboys or the New Orleans Saints. Those are the only two jobs that he would come out of the boot this year and coach. So if neither one of those two are available, he'll be right there with ESPN.
Why don't you make the call to Jerry Jones and make that happen, Rob? See if he'll take that, you know.
We'll have to wait and see.
Wait and see. I love it. Now, the aforementioned Andy Reid, what do you think about him and the possibilities of going to San Diego? Because half the battle, if you're in the NFL, is having a franchise quarterback. Obviously, if you're the Chargers, you have a quarterback in Phillip Rivers. I think he's just he needs something new right now, because North Turner, they have definitely regressed. You think that's a good situation, good landing point for Mr. Andy Reid?
Oh, I think it's a very good landing spot. The only concern we're going to a place like San Diego has a history of not paying top dollar to top coaches. So that will be the only reason why I can see him possibly not going to San Diego. And, I mean, obviously a great place to live, beautiful city. And but they have a history. The ownership there has a history of not paying top dollar. And Andy Reid will probably still command a salary of somewhere around a top five, top ten NFL head coach. And San Diego just has a history of not paying coaches, you know, that kind of salary figure. And I'll just say this, you know, I'm all but certain Sean Payton will be back with the New Orleans Saints. But if something goes wrong, I think you can even look at Andy Reid possibly going to the Saints as well.
What? Hold on. How are you sure about Sean Payton going back to the Saints? So do you have some type of insider information about this?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I have some very, very sources on this, and basically it's just a negotiating ploy similar to what Drew Brees and the Saints went through last summer. And he's just trying to get more money out of Tom Benson, and he's probably going to get it. I'm pretty sure of that. So all but certain, 99%, that he will be back with the New Orleans Saints.
Got about four and a half minutes or so on the show, and we're going to keep moving. And don't forget, we'll talk about the OT portion soon. But there's one more actual gift I want to talk about, and then we'll get into our predictions for the weekend, and we'll get ready for the OT portion of the show. But let's talk about Bruce Arians doing a fantastic job with the Indianapolis Colts in Chuck Pagano's stead. Chuck Pagano's actually coming back, but what do you think about him as a possible head coach? I mean, he's done a fabulous job with the young Andrew Luck. So what do you think about his possibilities of being a head coach? Do you think, you know, teams are actually eyeing him, or is he on the radar?
I think you got to give this guy a look. He's done a phenomenal job with the Colts, and I think you definitely have to give this guy a look, a strong look. And I can even see him being a fallback option for the Philadelphia Eagles if things doesn't go well with getting a guy like Chip Kelly. So I think if you're the Eagles, you got to give this guy a look. I think if you're the Carolina Panthers, you know, you got to give Bruce Arians a look. His possibility is Ron Rivera. I think Cleveland, and I think, and, you know, you mentioned San Diego, but I think San Diego should also be a team in the mix to give Bruce Arians a phone call as well. To work with a guy like Philip Rivers. And, you know, of course, you know, Arians, you know, have an opportunity to work with Andrew Luck is very intriguing to continue to develop him for the long term. So I think it would have to be a great fit for Arians to leave Andrew Luck.
Wow. Good deals. All right, well, like I said, we hope everyone's enjoying the show. Thanks for listening to us right now. We're going to talk about some NFL predictions for this upcoming weekend, and first and foremost, let's talk about the Ravens at the Cincinnati Bengals. This is a pretty interesting game because obviously both teams have clinched. They're going to the playoffs, but is this a statement game if you're the Bengals? What do you think about this? So you want to keep that momentum if you're the Ravens, or what do you think is going to happen in this game?
Well, the Bengals is locked in at the number 6 seed, whether they win or lose this weekend. The Ravens still have a slight opportunity to move up to number 3. And so I think, you know, I think the Ravens are going to approach this game with, you know, more on the line to win, and the Bengals may rest some players. So I think if both teams were playing at full strength, I would be picking the Bengals to win this game. I just think they're playing better. But right now, with that being said, I'm going to pick the Ravens just for the simple fact that the Bengals, they're locked in at the 6th seed regardless of what happens, and I don't think they're going to play the starters the full game.
I agree with that. I think the Ravens are going to try to put some on the line. And like you said, the Bengals, this is dress rehearsal. They're going to get ready for the playoffs. Let's talk about the next game. We have the Texans at the Colts. And this is a pretty interesting game for both sides and kind of similar. Man, we're going to have to keep our predictions going to the OT portion of the show. We got about 90 seconds, Rob. Let's kind of set the stage for next week. And I apologize for our listeners who listen to live this show. We got about, like I said, a minute and a half. We want to talk about next week, and we're going to have our show possibly on Wednesday as well. So tune in as well, and let's set the stage for next week, and we'll keep going in the OT portion, which we have another 15 minutes. Listen to us afterwards, and we'll still get our predictions and talk about some college bowl games. So, Rob, anything else you want to say? This kind of flew by, as always.
Yes, we appreciate you all listening once again. Once again, we're not quite sure if we're going to have our show on Tuesday, New Year's night, or if we're going to have it on Wednesday next week. So stay tuned for some updates on Twitter and Facebook. Once again, if you're not following us on Twitter, you need to be at 12th Man Sports, or you need to be liking our Facebook page as well, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. So stay tuned and follow up. And once again, if you're going to be on your computers tomorrow, catch us on our OT portion. We've still got a lot of NFL and college football to cover, so you don't want to miss that. So next week we'll be on either Tuesday or Wednesday, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, and 5 p.m. for those of you all listening in the great state of Hawaii. Good night, people.
Mahalo. Thanks for listening, guys. And as mentioned, we're going to keep it going. So hope you had a fun time. See you guys next week. and the OT portion is starting right now. So, Rob, we're going to keep it going. We're going to finish talking about our NFL predictions. We got the Texans at the Colts, and let's go ahead and kick it off, sir. I'll let you add this, because this is, like we talked about, like I was starting to say, this is another interesting scenario. You know, obviously, same situation with the Ravens and the Bengals, excuse me, that the Texans are 12-3. This is another situation where the Texans probably want to win this game to have a nice little, you know, they haven't been playing that well. So I think they want to win this game to kind of prove that let's get on a roll. So I think they're going to pull this game out.
Yeah, I'm agree. I'm going to go with the Texans here as well. And the Colts, like you said, they're locked in at the number 5 seed. Nothing can change. And, you know, with Chuck Pagano being back, you know, they're going to make some few changes this week. And so that might be, a little bit of a distraction, but I think the team will still come out and be ready for the playoffs, but I think they'll lose to the Texans this week.
Yeah, it's just a formality. Okay, another big game. We got the Packers at the Vikings, and this is a very, very interesting game. Packers 11-4, Vikings 9-6. I'm not sure about the playoff picture. Are the Vikings mathematically out of the game? Do they still have a shot if they win this game, or what?
No, the Vikings actually have a very legitimate chance. Actually, the Vikings win, they're in. That's a guarantee.
When they're in, okay.
They win, they are in. They will be in the playoffs if they win. And I think they will win. I think they're going to win at home. I think they'll slow down Aaron Rodgers and company. I know the Packers are right now the number 2 seed and would like to stay there. But I like the way the Vikings are playing defensive football right now, and they have a strong running game, and Adrian Peterson having a phenomenal year. I'm picking a slight upset here with the Vikings upsetting the Packers.
Wow. I could see that too, because they're actually, if it was at Lambeau, I'd kind of lean towards the Packers, but I agree with you. I think the Vikings are going to run the ball down the Packers' throat, and like you said, Aaron Rodgers is going to – I'm not going to say it's going to be a shootout, but he's going to try to do everything he can. They're going to try to keep him on the sidelines. Let's talk about another must-win for some teams. If you're the Cowboys, you're playing the Redskins, and this is pretty big. Redskins 9-6, Cowboys 8-7. Man, Redskins win. Are they in on this? Are they mathematically in this as well?
Whoever wins this game – is the NFC East champion. And,
wow.
So this is a huge game right here. Now, yep. The Redskins lose, they can still possibly make it as a wild card. The Cowboys lose, they're out no matter what. But whoever wins is the NFC East division champion. But like I said, the Redskins lose, they still have a chance as a wild card. The Cowboys lose, they do not. I'm looking forward to this game. I mean, other than watching my Saints season finale this weekend, this may be the game I'm looking forward to watching the most after that. And so I'm really looking forward to this. I really like the Redskins in this matchup. And I think the Redskins will win this game by 2 touchdowns, too. So I think they will. Yes,
wow.
Yes. I don't know if you remember the Thanksgiving Day Massacre where Washington went into Dallas and just whipped them. And I think Washington can beat them pretty badly again. I'm thinking 10 to 14 points here. Washington wins the division, and RG3 leads his team. Both he and Andrew Luck leads his team into the playoffs as rookies, and that is phenomenal here. You know, the Cowboys, us Saints fans, after the Falcons, the Cowboys are the next team that we hate the most. And so we don't like the Cowboys either. They're neighboring states. And, I don't know if you're aware of that, but after of course, the Falcons are the team we hate the most, but the Cowboys are a close second.
Why do you guys hate the Cowboys? This is news to me. I love it.
Well, Louisiana and Texas are bordering states, and they're like portions of Louisiana that's closer to Dallas than it is to New Orleans, and some of those areas of the states are Cowboys fans.
Okay.
And so it's just developed over the years of Saints and Cowboys fans just don't like each other. Kind of like Saints and Falcons fans.
Gotcha. Well, hey, man, that's news to me. I love the fact and a little history on it. Good to know. Good to know. All right, sir. Like I said, hope you guys have enjoyed the NFL portion of the show. Let's kind of switch gears, Rob. Let's talk about college. You know, obviously, bowl games, Christmas, that's all one and the same. And we have a lot of bowl games to discuss, which is pretty cool, and let's jump into some nice nice, interesting bowls. We got the Military Bowl. First, we have San Diego State versus Bowling Green.
Yeah, San Jose State, actually, versus Bowling Green.
Sorry, what did I say? What did I say? That's something else. I apologize. Man, I got to stop eating turkey. Yeah, San Jose State. I apologize. Keep it going, sir. Keep it going. Right now, San Jose State, they're 10. I should know that. I'm in the state of California. You think I get that? What do you think about this game, sir? Do you have any predictions on this particular one?
I'm going Bowling Green all the way on this one.
Bowling Green, even though San Jose State is a 7-point favorite on this game. Why Bowling Green?
I'm picking a major upset. I think they just play a lot, better brand of football, a lot better brand of football out there in the MAC conference. They're a lot more competitive. They compete very well with schools in the Big Ten and other schools. And I'm just going to pick I'm going to pick the Bowling Green on this one. But if you will, let's take a tight, slight twist here on these bowl games. Let's
sure.
cover some of the major bowls and come back to some of the ones that we have listed here, because we do have some major ones that are going to be coming up here right before our next show here. So I kind of want to start off with some of the BCS bowls here. I'm going to start off with the Fiesta Bowl. Oregon versus Kansas State.
Wow, I like it. Am I making the prediction first, or
yes,
or
you can go first.
I'm making the prediction first. You know me, and there's certain teams that I just become homers about, and that team is Kansas State. And we talked about it before. I'm a big fan of Bill Snyder. I like what he's doing with the program. Colin Klein is doing his thing. Obviously Colin Klein was the third runner up for the Heisman. I like the game, and this is a tough pick because I think Oregon has that high-powered offense, but I think that Kansas State is going to figure out a way to kind of slow them down, and it's going to be a high-scoring game, but I just like Kansas State to pull this out. That's me.
I like Kansas State, too, and I think you and I both have talked about Bill Snyder being one of the best coaches in the country, and I think another reason why I like Kansas State in this matchup here is I think Oregon has some distractions, has some off-the-field distractions with NCAA investigations, and, of course, the rumors of Chip Kelly going to the NFL. I just think there's going to be some distractions. I mean, I think this Oregon team is phenomenal as well, but I think they're going to have some distractions that take them away. In Kansas State, they're just a solid football program, methodical in their approach, and they're going to come out ready to play and win this game.
I agree.
Let's talk about the Chick-fil-A Bowl, which I think is another very intriguing matchup. LSU against Clemson. You know, you have a high-powered offense here in Clemson and a top-notch defense in LSU right there in Atlanta, in your city, and how do you shake this one out?
You know, it's pretty interesting. I think this is going to be a great game, and I'm going to give some props to the LSU Tigers because Les Miles always has his team ready to play in bowl games. Whenever he's beaten us at Georgia Tech, and that was probably one of our worst losses. But in spite of the fact that Clemson is very high-powered, just something about LSU and the way that they prepare, I think they're going to handle their business. I think it's going to be a very exciting – I think this is going to be a great game to watch, Rob.
I really do, too.
Go back and forth for a minute, but I think LSU is going to pull us out. Like I said, Les Miles always has his team prepared for bowl games, so that's my prediction.
Well, I know a lot of people are going to think I'm biased in my prediction here, but I totally agree with you. I think Les Miles will have LSU ready to play. And the couple of games that Clemson have lost this year, they've lost against teams that have great front fours and very physical defenses. And I think that LSU will be able to, slow down that Clemson offense. And check this out. LSU, under Les Miles, they're 9-1 in the Georgia Dome. LSU, period, is 9-1 in the Georgia Dome. So they play very well when they come to Atlanta and play in the Georgia Dome. And with a 9-1 record, I like LSU. They're used to playing in that dome and ready to play. Here's another game that's very intriguing, the Cotton Bowl. Texas A&M, Johnny Football against Landry Jones in Oklahoma.
This is a tough game to pick, Rob. You know me so well, and you know that I'm not a fan of Bob Stoops. I'm not. Big games. And I'm torn because I like the play of Johnny Football, too, and the fact that he's had a phenomenal year. Now, one side of me would go with the senior in Landry Jones to do his duties against a young guy. So I'm going to pick Oklahoma only for that reason. Hopefully the moment is not too big for Johnny Football. Obviously, Texas A&M is doing a phenomenal job. And I only give a slight edge only for the quarterback. That's just me. So I'd love to hear your thoughts. As much as it pains me to say that, because I'm really flipping a coin in this instance. I really am.
Well, some people may think I'm being SEC biased here, not that Texas A&M is in the SEC. But actually, I just like the way Texas A&M finished the season. They were just really playing really good football, knocked off Alabama on the road, blowing out just about everybody they played in the last three or four games. And I just think this is a hot ball club. We're going to be ready to play. And I like them to win this game in Dallas, in the Cotton Bowl, over Oklahoma. So I'm going to go with Texas A&M in this one. Let's go down to the Capital One Bowl in Orlando, Georgia against Nebraska.
Big game if you're Georgia. And the fact that Georgia did not get they didn't get the bowl that they wanted. This is a good bowl. Like I said, I think it's close for us. If you are Georgia fans, you're going to travel well. I just feel sorry for Nebraska because Georgia's going to take it out all their frustrations on the Cornhuskers. So they're going to go in there. Mark Rick's going to have them ready to play. Emory's going to be throwing all over that defense, and I think Georgia's going to easily pull this one out.
Yeah, I totally agree. I may be SEC biased again, but I think Georgia in a route. I won't even be close. I totally agree with you. I think the talent level between these two teams is not even close. Mm-hmm. Georgia is a much more talented ball club. Georgia in a route. And a game that you're going to have some interest here, the Sun Bowl, USC against Georgia Tech.
Yeah, this is an interesting game, Rob, and I'm glad that you let me pick this game, too, because I've been thinking a lot about this, because if you know Matt Barkley, it's kind of 50-50 in that he's not going to be available to play. Obviously Georgia Tech, they actually want to finish strong here. I'm sure Paul Johnston wants to put a stamp on the program. This is a tough game, Rob. Both teams are pretty high ranked offenses. Obviously, USC has more of a better passing. Georgia Tech's going to run the ball. Both teams score a lot of points. And both teams are – defenses are kind of – Georgia Tech defense is not as strong, obviously. So this is tough. I'm kind of leaning towards the homer in the mini is going Georgia Tech. So that's just me. I'm sorry I didn't mean to take all your time, but that's just me.
That's just me, man.
I'm thinking that, because of the fact there's not like a lot of history with Paul Johnson and Lane Kiffin. And Matt Barkley may not play. If he doesn't play, I like Tech in this game.
Yeah, I know we're gonna have a couple more minutes here, but I'm gonna keep it simple here. I agree with you. If Matt Barkley plays, I like USC. If he doesn't, I like Georgia Tech. I think he'll be the deciding factor in this ball game. Let's see, maybe we can get one or two more bowls in real quick. We have the Sugar Bowl right down here in New Orleans, Florida. Against Louisville.
Like Florida, it's going to be tough. In this game, there's a lot of coordinators are putting their stakes on this game because they have some future jobs, so I like Florida in this game.
I like Florida as well. Orange Bowl, Florida State, Northern Illinois.
This is a tough one, Rob. I like Florida State only because of the fact that they have more talent at this juncture. But Northern Illinois is playing great, too, but I'm going to go Florida State.
Florida State all the way. I think the talent level is a big difference there. And one last game, the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all, out in Pasadena, Wisconsin, Stanford.
I like Stanford in this game. I love the way that David Shaw's been getting that team prepared. They gave him an extension as well, so I like Stanford in this game.
I like Stanford. Those of you out there in the Bay Area is going to like that. David Shaw doing a phenomenal job and a very physical football team. Well, we need to wrap it up here. Make sure you guys join us. We'll have an update for you on whether or not we're going to be airing. It sounds like we may be doing it on Wednesday night next week, 11 p.m., but stay tuned toward that, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. for our friends in Hawaii. Andre, what you got to say?
I just want to say thank you, guys. Thanks, Rob, for doing a great job of the putting the show topic together as always. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we thank you guys for always tuning in to 12th Man Sports. There's a lot of love for you guys. Thanks for the year.
Happy New Year to everyone around the globe. Join us next week. Good night, people.
Good night, people.